afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Mike Siegel.
And I'm Kyle Dawson.
Hey Kyle, how are you doing?
He caught it mid-coffee.
I know.
He wasn't ready.
He wasn't.
He's got one thing to do.
He's got
answer.
One thing to do. He's got Captain
I thought Crim- I was going to get a point. You pointed at Mike, you didn't point at me.
I went like this.
Oh. That's a point, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, point. And then I did this. Doo doo ga ga. I didn't do that, really.
That's good radio. People can't see that.
Kyle's got a Captain Crunch shirt on. I always liked that shirt.
Thanks.
That was that at Target or was that a mail in and get it?
This was a mail in and get it, and then I got bleach on my original one.
So what happened?
I bought one on eBay.
How much was it on eBay?
Like $8.
That's not bad.
No.
You're a small.
I am a small.
All right. That's good. Stay a small all your life.
Yeah, if you can do it.
Yeah, if you can do it, do it.
I haven't worn a small, I think, since I'm going to go with sixth grade, maybe.
I wear a small around the house. It does not look good, but I wear it all tight. Kyle, you're training.
I wear small underwear, though. Is that odd?
Let me tell you something. I have to wear really tight underwear now when I do any physical activity.
Is that because your balls are hanging really low?
I don't know. Maybe.
With age, you know, they get lower and lower.
Yeah, I got to tighten it all up in there because it's not comfortable. That's why I'm glad
you
I have
those, like, Under Armour, like the...
Yeah, the compression shorts,
like
those are good.
Yeah, like a boxer brief.
Yeah, get those, man.
Those are like $70, aren't they, for a pair?
Well, do you like your balls? Maybe you like them. Maybe you want to protect them. Maybe you want to compress them. You've had your kids. You don't need any more sperm count.
Don't need it. So Under Armour, what are these called?
This has been ball talk, ladies and gentlemen.
Compression pants.
Today's topic is all songs about balls. Compression pants. And I wear those under a regular pant?
You wear them under your shorts. Yeah.
All right. You have a pair of these?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah.
How many pairs do you have?
I got just one.
Just one? Yeah, because they fucking cost $100.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Send me a link so I can get these. Okay. My birthday comes up.
But you got to keep it together. Like Kramer says, you know, my boys need a house.
wasn't there an episode then where Kramer liked boxers for a while?
That's like part of it.
Yeah. That was,
that's like the whole.
I hate boxers. I don't even sleep in boxers.
No, I don't like. Yeah, just. Yeah.
I wear boxers exclusively.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You're not going to. Well, Kyle's training for a 5K now. You can't run a 5K in boxers.
No, I won't.
Get compression shorts.
He will.
Okay.
How's the training coming? Because I know you do little to no physical activity.
I don't know. I started taking the stairs up at work.
How many?
That's your training?
How many flights? One.
It's like three flights.
Up and down?
Yeah.
You should do that anyway.
Let me tell you this. What is. This is what I was doing when I was working in this one office building that was about six or seven floors. When you leave the building, go to the stairwell, okay?
Yeah.
Walk up to the top, and then walk the whole way back down.
I'm on the top floor.
What kind of a shit building is that? Three floors? You're at the top? Your penthouse at three floors?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what else are you doing to train?
That's it.
Have you like gone out and just, do you even have running shoes? I only see
you. Have you ever done physical activity whatsoever?
He only has Chuck Taylors. How are you going to, do you have a pair of?
I'm getting a pair of running shoes.
You need some arch support,
my
friend.
You're
going to
buy a pair of running shoes just for this one event.
Probably. I didn't really think this through.
Wear plastic bags over them, then you can take them back after you're done.
This is a 5K?
Yes.
Oh, that's nothing. That's like 20 minutes.
I could run that now.
Okay, yeah.
You should be able to.
Yeah.
What is it?
That's why I signed up.
It's like 3 miles.
3.1.
3.1.
Yeah.
We were saying earlier, it's not like when we run it and we're wheezing and gasping and playing mind games. Must cross line.
Yeah.
Must live longer.
When I was Kyle's age, I probably could have gone out all night the night before, then woken up and run a 5K.
Yep.
Yeah.
Badly, but I would have finished.
What do you hope your time will be?
Under an hour. I don't think it'll take
an hour.
Under an hour? I did it one time in 27 minutes.
Yes.
26 minutes.
An hour.
An hour?
You could walk it.
You could walk
under
it.
Under an hour.
That's my goal. I know I'll make it.
Your roommate is physically fit. What does he run a 5K in?
He was running. He said that he ran like three or 5 miles yesterday. Mm-hmm. 5 miles. And it was like 7 minute miles.
Wow. So are you doing it with him?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to keep up with him?
You'll never see him.
Yeah. No.
You'll see him at the starting line and
you'll
then
see the back
the
of
end.
His compression shorts. All right. Well, good luck. When is that again?
That is August 15th.
This might drop after that.
Okay.
Oh, will it?
I think it might. It might. Yeah, I think.
I will probably be in Europe. Then.
That's great. Where are you going to be in Europe?
I'm going to Scandinavia. I'm going to follow up on my death metal obsession.
You will
my Norwegian death metal.
You will also be probably in the final 10 of Last Comic Standing by the time this airs.
Oh, yes, folks. Are you watching? No, by this time, I can't.
That was a good joke. That was a good joke that was in the promo, though, that you did.
They've been using me, but I haven't seen myself yet.
Look, you had one good joke.
Yeah.
And your camera ready. So, of course, they're going to use you in the promo.
Well, that's the impossible. Like, I made the mistake of saying, hey, tune in tonight on Last Comic Standing, and then I forgot to put the disclaimer. Hey, I don't know how they cut these things. May be in it. I may not be in it.
And then people were angry for no reason.
Dude, I stayed up.
I watched for 2 whole hours.
I was entertained for 2 hours.
Yeah, I didn't see you. Maybe that's why I was entertained. Kyle, I got a quick brand new song I'd like to play. But
ooh,
before
new music.
But before I do, Kyle.
New music roundup.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So hear me the little thing because I need to plug in over here. This is coming out. This is, I think it's coming out in September. Yeah, September 18th. It's this gentleman's third solo album, Keith Richards.
Wow.
It's his third solo album after, man, I don't know. It's been like 20 years maybe since he's had it's 20 years since he had a solo album. The album's called Cross-Eyed Heart. And this is the first single. I haven't really even heard it yet. So this is called Trouble.
Just because you find yourself off the streets again, that don't mean that I can help you or I ain't your friend. Now you're out of circulation, out of reach, out of touch.
I like Keith's solo stuff.
I don't mind that.
No, I like when he does his solo stuff. I bet it takes like a year to make a Stones album, and he probably throws one of these together in about a month, right?
In his basement.
It's all the guys that worked on his other ones, the expensive winos, Steve Jordan and Waddy Wachtel and Ivan Neville, Bobby Keys. So, I bet that'll be a fun album. I'd be great if he did a couple of shows because you know he'd do a solo show out here in LA.
Absolutely. How did you get that tune? Is that online?
It's online. You can find it online.
Okay. That's the only one they've released, though?
That's the only one they've released so far. That was on iHeartRadio, I think, is where we stole that from.
Well, I hope he comes around because we didn't go to the Stone show this last one. They were only in San Diego. That sucked.
They said, I read yesterday that I guess they had a meeting. I guess they have board meetings.
Okay.
And Mick just said, don't you think we should, it's about time we record again? And everyone said, okay. And so, because it's been 10 years since they had an album out, so.
Maybe Keith wishes he would have saved some of these songs for the Stones album.
Well, that's what's funny when they do that, when they do these solo albums. Because I think there's a lot of good Mick solo songs. I think there's a lot of good Keith solo songs, but.
When was Mick's last solo album?
That was 2001.
Oh.
It like tanked so bad. And it was, I thought it was a great album. And it really, like, no one bought it.
Duets on that one? Did he have duets with people?
He worked with Lenny Kravitz was on there and Bono. He does a song with Bono. It's a great album. Great album.
People don't want to see him, I guess.
They just don't want to. I know. They don't want solo music.
Well, they don't play that. I mean, who's going to play that on the radio? As much as we like that Keith Richards song, who's going to?
No one.
Where's it going to play?
Classic rock radio doesn't play. They don't play new songs by classic rock artists. They only play Surrender and I Want You to Want Me and Dust in the Wind.
I know. That's got to be so frustrating.
If I was a DJ at a classic rock radio station coming up Kansas, then you can say, okay, is it going to be Carry On Wayward Son? Or
know exactly what it hasn't changed since we were young.
Nope. I hear White Wedding so much that like even the girls will be like, didn't we just hear this song
right
yesterday? We heard it today already.
It made me hate weddings and white people. I hate the color and the ritual.
I really think classic rock radio should go a little deeper. And then when these classic rock artists have new music out, they should give it a spin, try.
The only change I've noticed is like now they're considering 90s is now classic rock.
Oh boy.
And so, but that's a lot of, again, U2, Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
But after that, it's still, yep.
Yep, same thing.
Here's the Eagles.
I know.
Hotel California one more time.
I know. And I love Hotel. I love Hotel California.
But we never need to hear it again.
Never need, not on the radio. Give me something different.
And it's the thought of that you're giving Don Henley more money. That's the other thought of
he
it.
He has a new album coming out too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, who's going to play that?
I don't know.
His audience doesn't even buy. Well, they still buy CDs, but they don't like. Will they buy it on? Maybe they get it on iTunes.
Wow.
They're the ones who buy at Barnes & Noble. It'll be playing at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. That's where it'll be playing.
How am I talking about? How are we talking? We just played new music by Keith Richards. Now I gotta look up this. We gotta give Don Henley a little whirl.
You have his new thing?
You can get two songs on iTunes right now. So let me just bop over there.
And give him more money.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're just gonna play it for free. Fuck that guy. here we go. This one's called "Take a Picture of This." I assume that's a dick pic.
Or it's his face, which is the same thing.
Wow.
Look at that. Kyle bringing it.
Captain Crunch.
I like when you eat Captain. Is that on your training table, by the way? Yeah. Captain Crunch?
Yep.
I love Captain Crunch, except when it cuts my mouth and I drink orange juice. It's terrible. Okay, this is called "Take a Picture of This" by Don Henley.
The night we knew was gone, our friends had all moved on. Time rearranging. But on our wedding day, they all came back to say, congratulations. Take a picture of this. Oh, take a picture of this.
Sounds like typical Don Henley solo stuff.
It does.
He's got a lot of people on this album. He's got Mick Jagger, Miranda Lambert, Merle Haggard, Martina McBride.
Did you say Merle Haggard?
Yeah, Haggard.
Yeah, there you go. There's a D at the end of that.
Merle, Sammy Haggard. He's got him. He's got the Haggard brothers from...
got Hagar the Horrible.
Yeah. And Dolly Parton's on there. It's supposed to be a country album, which...
That's like the last refuge of rock stars.
I mean,
you know, Steven
music,
Tyler does a country album
Eagles
now.
Eagles music always skewed country-ish.
Yeah, it was
to me,
country-ish.
So.
Always.
All right. Well, Mike, anything else new before we get started?
I'm thinking, what else is new? Yeah, we can be traveling. I want to talk to you. I'm going to have you on the Travel Tales podcast.
Too. I can't do that.
Oh, really?
I have enough foreign locations under my belt
yeah.
now.
I want to get your reactions
to
Rome and
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. what's the rock city? You know that.
But Paul Gilmartin witnessed a shooting right down the street from here. You didn't hear about this?
No.
I heard that there was a shooting here.
I'll have to send you the link. The Los Angeles Times article, they interview Paul Gilmartin.
You're kidding?
No. It was right at Laurel Canyon and Ventura, which literally it's not even a 5K from here. Yeah. Kyle could probably run
Kyle
there.
Kyle could actually
minutes.
Sprint there.
No, it's...
You're telling me there's a shooting in America? Hold on. Back it up.
But yeah, this guy was brandishing a gun and cops came and the guy was just sitting on a bench. He was holding the gun. But Paul called it suicide by cop.
Oh.
Because the cops told him, put the gun down. Nope. Put the gun down. Nope. And the guy stood up and then boom, took him out.
Did Paul get an interview with the guy right before he got shot?
Paul actually talked him into it. Which is so that he could get an episode out of it.
He's a big fan of the mental illness happy hour.
But Paul,
boy, that's scary.
Yeah, it is. But
was he like a crazy, like a homeless dude or something?
Look, whoever he is, he was able to get a gun in America.
Yeah, no, there was
bad.
A shooting by me not too far from me. Mm-hmm. A homeless guy had gone into, he's either in somebody's yard or in their house or something. He got in and the owner shot him.
Well, and that's why we need our guns.
No, yeah.
All right, let's get to today's episode. I don't really have like a cool name for it. I called it album closers. What would you call it, Kyle?
I don't know. Maybe like last song.
Last song. What do you like, Mike?
That's what I put. I put last songs on my playlist.
Last
here.
Songs closing, or last song.
Closing track.
Album closers.
That's what I had. Album closers.
Cappers. Headliners.
Codas.
I don't like Coda.
Lid closers.
what do you call it? I'm going to let you choose.
I don't know. I just call it like closing tracks. Or
closing tracks. Okay. That's I'm
finales? I don't know.
That's a little better.
Finales. I'm going to change it to finales, even though I don't really like it. I'm just going to call it. All right. Hey, welcome to the show. Today is finales. Mike Siegel and I are going to play. Oh, and by the way, the lovely ladies of Rock Solid will be back soon. I think it's been a while. Christy was here for a David Wilde episode, and it's been a while since April's been. April's been
on the road.
She's been doing shows and following Morrissey.
Did you see her post? She drove like thousands and thousands of miles.
Like 5,000 miles.
21 shows or something? Or 10 shows? I don't know.
She did 9 shows and saw 10 Morrissey shows, I think is what it was.
Wow.
So
that's a fan.
That is a fan.
That is a fan. He's got to know her, right, by now? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he probably sees her and says, oh, geez. But they'll be back. We've just had guests and things happen and but it's nothing. They'll be back. The lovely ladies of Rock Solid will be back.
I finally watched the Wrecking Crew documentary. I enjoyed it.
I will have 5 autographed DVD copies of The Wrecking Crew to give away, and so look for on your Twitter feed for that.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. That was great.
It's fun. It's really cool.
I can't imagine. How long did it take him to put that together?
He was working on it for like 15 years or something, right?
Oh, my God.
My favorite story in there, and we talked about it on that show, was how for Mr. Tambourine Man, the Byrds, it was all session musicians. It took them like a couple hours. And then turn, took them 3 days with the band.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
But time was money in the studio. I know. And I think they got to know. And it's like, oh, we don't have time for you guys to come in here and noodle around and learn your instruments.
Yeah, Crosby. With your gun and drugs, whatever he was doing back then.
Did you ever watch Dogtown and Z-Boys on the flight?
You know what? I had it with me.
You jerk. You didn't even watch it?
I didn't watch it. I had it with me. Here's what I took on the flight to watch. That and Popeye cartoons from the 40s. I didn't watch those either.
Popeye cartoons?
Yeah, from the 40s.
What? Why?
I wanted to see what happened when he eats that spinach. I still don't know.
Didn't Nana buy you those?
Yeah, and what did she say?
She's like, oh, he wants Popeye.
Is that what are you leaving a word out? I think she said the F word.
Oh, maybe.
I think she said, 45 years old, he went, fucking Popeye.
I think that is what she said.
First of all, who's 45 in the room? I don't know who you're talking about.
This is how long I've had those. I've had them for 7 years. I've had a guitar for 12 years. Haven't watched Popeye, haven't played the guitar. All right, these are album closers. We're going to play our favorite songs that end albums. Doesn't even have to be a good album.
If I'm going to think of the best closers, I think of it as a piece, and I'm thinking, like, well, it would be a classic album's got to have a classic closer. That's the way I went with it.
There's some bad albums that have a great closing track.
That is true. So that is true.
Some of mine might be that way.
Okay.
But, but when I look down here, I think most of these albums are solid for me. Yeah they are. So, fuck that. Mike, I'll let you go first. What's your first album closer?
Well, before like the Beatles, really, I think the albums were like just a collection of the singles they would throw on there.
Sure.
The singles were the thing.
Yeah.
So the Beatles kind of make it like the first time to make it like a full piece.
You know,
so I had to put them on the list. And the obvious choices were, well, The End, you know, with the final.
Yes.
And in The End, The Love You Take is equal to The Love You Make. You drop the mic, you fucking walk.
You walk out.
Or the Day in the Life would probably be the obvious with that like 45-second chord held out. But so I just took an odd one. This is from the White Album.
Okay.
So after two full albums of craziness that's all over the map, they end it with Ringo singing a lullaby.
All right.
This is Good Night. Got to get the talking at the end. A lot of drugs in the room right now.
And this would be my perfect example of a song that closes out a bad album. I don't like the White Album.
Really?
I just don't. I like... What is that?
It was his whispering.
Oh.
So you just listen through two albums, and then all of a sudden at the end, we're like, okay, I guess we can go to bed now.
I like to whittle the White Album down to a nice,
a solid,
single
good album
for myself. This won't be my one I'm going to play now, but we'll do it right now because you just said it. I was going to close out the show, or my choices with, go ahead, click it, Kyle.
Yeah,
it is. Day in the Life. This is in mono.
Oh, it is mono, yeah.
Yeah.
And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh.
You got to get the last chord, then. How it just like, it's like two different songs crammed together, yeah. And then it ends with like 8,000 instruments, yeah, all clanging at once, and then boom.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think the Beatles reissues, they kind of bummed me out a little bit because they had that stereo box and they had the mono box. And in reality, some of these albums, you could have put the stereo and the mono both on one disc.
Because they don't take up much.
No, they
a
don't.
A mono recording takes up no space.
And they could have made all the things like two CD sets, like you'll get the stereo disc. And it was such a...
Making you buy more.
And the mono box was way more than the stereo box. I hate when they... Don't do it to my liking.
How much more money do they need?
I know.
What are they, the Eagles?
Yeah. But the song I was going to start off with today is an undeniable. You can't deny that this is a great song. This is from 1969. This closes out the Rolling Stones' Let It Bleed.
Oh, awesome.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want.
More shaker.
You're on those maracas.
I know.
You can't always
call the shaker song.
Yeah. How would you find that? You'd have to Google search songs with Morocco.
We could do a cowbell show. I bet we could do a call. Cowbell show.
Well, I'm going to play Don't Fear the Reaper first.
What was the... I almost had a Stone song there, but I can't remember what I was going to... The one that closes Beggar's Banquet. What is that?
Is that... Well, I can tell you because are you looking it up, Kyle? Because I can look it up quicker, Kyle. Don't even do it. Did you find it already?
No.
Don't do it. I can find it because I have the whole catalog right in front of me.
I thought you would know it off the top of your head.
Salt of the Earth.
Oh.
Closes out Beggars.
I think of that one.
What were you were, there's Sympathy for the Devil opens it.
Oh, okay.
Street Fighting Man's in the middle.
What closes Sticky Fingers then?
Are we just going to go through everything? No. Moonlight Mile.
Mm. All right.
What song are you thinking?
Maybe I was thinking of what you brought in, maybe.
What song are you thinking?
Yeah, okay. I don't remember. I don't remember what the hell I was thinking.
Oh, you might be thinking of Exile on Main Street, which closes with Soul Survivor.
No.
Okay, you're up, Mike.
Maybe they don't close well, the Rolling Stones.
I picked the one.
I know, you did pick it.
I did that my was research. Great.
All right, well, I'm going to go to another classic. This is from 1971. It's our friend Marvin Gaye and his revolutionary What's Going On album, and this is the closing song. This is Inner City Blues.
Spend it all, the have not money. We make it for we see it. You take it. Oh, make me want to holler the way they do my life. Yeah. Make me want to holler the way they do.
So that turned out to be the third single off the album. It was What's Going On, Mercy, Mercy Me, and then that one.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
You're kidding me.
No.
That was a third single off. It was a big hit. Big hit.
Look, I believe you.
Where did you grow up? Western Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Did you ever see an African-American person growing up?
We didn't really.
I know you didn't.
We didn't really.
Was this Cheap Trick in Kansas pumping out of the garages where you were?
I'm trying to think. Probably Seeger. Bob Seger was playing. Give me the thing once, because we were talking about Mike Siegel in Last Comic Standing. Let's hear a little bit.
Oh, no, don't. What are you doing?
This is music related, and this is you from the promo.
Oh, no.
Let's listen.
And then just kind of see what happens. I got friends that are broke snobs. You know these people? They don't have any money, but they turn their nose up at free stuff. I got a buddy like that. I'd be like, hey, man, I got us free tickets for that concert you wanted to see. He's like, yeah, where are the seats? Apparently they're in the ungrateful bastard section.
Look at that. That's a good piece of business.
I still have not seen that.
And who are you?
That's a great joke about Murray.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you
talking
about?
Specifically, there's like two guys that it's, you don't know them, but yeah, they are.
Are they at this
table? I'll tell you off the air who they are, but it's from real life for sure.
Well, yeah, that's the best. Your hair was flat though in this. Your hair's a little flat.
I thought they poofed it up a little.
No, it looks a little flat.
Sorry.
It's a little unflattering. No, that's a great joke. And
they cut it a little bit. They really sliced it for time.
Did they edit the guys' names out of it?
Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine, Frank.
Murray Valeriano. No, I'm kidding. Not Murray.
No, it's not Murray. It's not me. It's not
Murray. It's not you. No.
It's not Chip.
No. You might know a couple of the guys.
Okay.
I'll tell you
later. I can't wait to hear. And this next artist, I rarely play any.
Oh, and by the way, on stage, it's Ungrateful Asshole, which is a much bigger laugh. But I had
Bastards
to change it to,
I like, though.
Bastard, I had to change it for network.
I think I like Bastards better.
Mm.
What do you like better, Assholes or Bastards?
I liked the Bastards.
Bastards was all pretty right. good.
It's got the hard B sound.
Yeah. Right. And people don't use that word a lot.
Yeah.
Asshole I hear a lot.
Yeah.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
Okay, so I rarely play solo Ozzy Osbourne. But this,
and we all thank you for that.
But this song closes out the Ultimate Sin. This was the single.
Ultimate Sin?
Yeah, from 1986.
Oh, okay.
Dweezil Zapp is in this video. And a friend of the show.
This is after Bark at the Moon.
This is after, yeah, it's yeah, this is after Bark. This is the second Jakey Lee album.
Okay.
But this is weird. This was the single, and it closes the album. Let's hear a little bit of Shot in the Dark.
Oh, I remember this.
Speaking of someone who didn't have flat hair, this is when Ozzy was moosing it up.
Yeah.
He's got like a spangle thing. You have to look at the video sometime. It's got a spangled thing on his microphone.
Glam Ozzy was never a good look.
No.
Or Glam Kiss, for that matter.
Ugh.
Glam Gene Simmons. Horrible.
Are you looking it up? This is one of his most accessible songs,
I think.
That's
a good song. And this, how many albums put the single as the closer? I mean, that's rare.
Really? Well, the guys are on drugs.
Yeah, that's true.
The song was either co-written or written by the bass player at the time, Phil, I think Susan or Susan is his name. He has sued Ozzy and Sharon so many times over money and stuff about this song that they don't include this song on any of the greatest hits packages because they don't
just to screw him.
Yes, that's true. They don't want to give him any money, and that's one of Ozzy's, like I said, most accessible songs. Did you see him in the video?
Yeah. Does he play it live? Does he play it live at least?
Hmm.
He might play it live, but he just wouldn't have it recorded or something.
Yeah.
Just to not give that guy royalties.
I don't know if I've
ever
seen. I've seen Ozzy three times. I don't think I've ever seen him play that live.
You know, it's not Ozzy, it's all Sharon. Sharon, you piss her off and you're
daddy,
dead.
Daddy, I don't want to give Phil Stussen any money, Daddy. I want to put it up Jack's nose.
What's your next song?
Again, classic album. We're going to go to Led Zeppelin 4. And a lot of closers, I see this, they go to big, long songs.
We
and
need
this,
to have a sting that says crossover songs. Because I had this too, but I'm going to let you introduce it.
All right.
You want to record the crossover beginning songs right now? Because you guys were both talking.
Was that just you want to do it?
Yeah, do it.
That's so what do we call it? Oh, what,
together? We do that together?
Yeah. We'll count to three, Kyle.
Okay. One, two, three.
Crossover songs!
Okay, perfect.
Okay, great. I'll isolate that and we'll drop it in. We'll use that whenever we have a crossover.
One of the greatest opening drum riffs ever. This is When the Levee Breaks.
Mm-hmm. got harmonica in there too. Got a lot of stuff in there. Got an album.
This goes for a while.
Got an album that really doesn't have a title.
Yeah.
Where did I drop it in from? See where I dropped. I don't know if I dropped it in from the same spot or if I went somewhere different. Let's see what I got. I think I went in with some vocals. I always like to hear words.
If it keeps on raining, that beast gonna break. If it keeps on raining,
that's Mike Siegel on table drums.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. So this song opens with Black Dog and closes with when
the album
levee,
opens with
when the levee breaks, and then sandwiched in between there we got Rock and Roll, Battle of Evermore,
Stairway to Heaven,
Misty Mountain Hop, Four Sticks,
Going to California. That's an album right there, friend.
Speaking of classic rock,
and it got dissed right on Rolling Stone, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it doesn't even have a title. It's really, I don't know what it's called. I guess Led Zeppelin 4, but it really doesn't have a title.
That's one of the great scenes on It Might Get Loud when Jimmy Page is talking about that. And it's like, for Led Zeppelin 4, they gave it, like Rolling Stone gave it like a one paragraph review. And he's like, there's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah.
To just give it that.
Yeah, that's BS.
They missed the whole point. But you know, that they talk about doing When the Levee Breaks because they went to that giant manor where they recorded it and they had his drums in the foyer.
Yeah.
You know, they had a really high ceiling with the stairwell. So it just echoed through the whole thing. He said after that, drummers wanted to get that sound. So they would record in like elevator shafts. And
man, we wanted to get the big drum sound. So we went to the manor and we just set up right in the fucking hall. And man, the ceilings had to be 40 feet high.
After your eighth trip to London, your accent has gotten
Mike, I'm telling you now.
That is the worst English accent attempt I've ever heard.
We're in the manor and we're playing the drum. And the fucking Bonzo is just cranking it
up. Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins did it better than you on that.
Let me tell you something, Mike.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
I'm going to lift your skirt up and pop you.
Sorry, I cut you off, though.
I was just going to say, we were talking about classic rock radio. I only like to listen to Stairway to Heaven on my fucking terms. Like, when I want to hear it, I'll fucking put it on.
Don't force it on me.
Don't play it for me. Because I don't want to hear it when you play it. But if I have the headphones on, I want in my time, that's when I'll listen to it.
You like to control your Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
All right. Now that was yours and then I piggybacked it. So I'll throw it. So it's me, Kyle. What do you
think? It's you.
Right.
Go ahead.
This is the aforementioned, we talked about this guy earlier. Kyle called him an asshole right to his, behind his back.
Yeah. Very manly of you.
Don Henley. This is from the 1974 album On the Border by the Eagles. And I do love the Eagles. I make fun of Henley and Fry, but I really love them. I do. And this is the best of my love. Randy Meisner on bass.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom.
We tried to talk it over, but the words come out too rough. I know you were trying to give me the best of your love.
And I do love how Don Henley's voice sounds.
It's
a great song. Yeah.
And was Bernie Ledden still in the band then?
Yes.
Okay, was that his last contribution? What year was that? 74?
That was 74. Now let me look. Now, Mike, I'm getting a little bit older, so my memory's going.
Now, Desperado was before that, right?
Desperado is the album before that. Yeah, the album Desperado. This is their third album.
Okay.
I'll tell you who's in the band.
I think Bernie Ledden was jettisoned after this one.
This is it. Don Henley, Glenn Frey, Bernie Ledden. Randy Meisner and Don Felder plays on that song too. But then they let
Bernie Ledden get in there. Let's get this crazy Joe Walsh character and rock it up a bit.
Oh no, you know what? I'm wrong. No. Bernie was on for one more album. He was on the One of These Nights albums.
Oh, he was.
Let me make sure of that. No, here's what happened. I'll tell you right now.
Exclusive.
No, he is. Yeah, he's on the first. Yeah, he left before Hotel California.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I do know that. I don't know why I'm...
So Hotel California was Walsh's first album?
Yes, that was his debut.
Hey, that's a nice way to come in.
Yeah. That's great talk.
Meanwhile, Bernie Ledden's going, son of a...
Did he get kicked out or did he leave on his own accord? I'm not sure.
I think he was a little... Well, according to the documentary, Fry says, you know, they just wanted to get more balls in the band. But I think he was like more of a folky country guy.
Yeah, banjo and some songs.
Yeah, and they were trying to move away from that. And
then after they got Joe Walsh, Glenn Fry was like, ah, this guy gets a lot of attention on stage. Damn it. Mistake. What's next for you?
This is something I'm sure you didn't bring.
Okay.
Non-crossover. Crossover. this is from the Pogues. This is their classic album.
I can't even think of this. Even I'm playing this, I'm throwing up in my
produced
mouth.
Produced by your friend Elvis Costello. This is their classic album, Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash, which is one of my favorite titles of it.
All right, let's hear it.
This is called The Band Played Waltzing Matilda.
Johnny Turkey was ready. He primed himself well. He showered us
I did bring this.
And he rained us with shells. And in 5 minutes flat.
Is this like a traditional Irish song?
It's a I'll tell you about it.
Tom Waits song?
No.
Right back to Australia. And the band played Waltzing Matilda. As we stopped to bury our slain. And we buried ours, and the Turks buried theirs, and it started all over again.
So it's basically, it's a song about Gallipoli and the Australians fighting in Gallipoli.
Oh, the Mel Gibson movie about racism.
Yeah, it wasn't about racism.
Yeah, Mel Gibson's racist.
Oh, yeah, right.
I never saw the movie Gallipoli.
It's great. It's great, but it's such a, like when I went to Turkey, there was a, it's in Turkey, the fighting where it happened. They were fighting the Ottoman Empire and the British and the whole thing. So they, little history lesson here. What happened was, you know, it was a slaughter basically. It was really
rock solid history.
It was horrible. It was like, but every Australian learns this story. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's famous. And so they all grew up knowing it. So many Australians go to Turkey to visit it.
Yeah.
That I went to like a little tour company in Istanbul there, and you could take day trips down to Gallipoli. But the guy who worked there had an Australian accent, and I said, "Wow, you speak English great! I mean, you obviously went to Australia." He goes, "No, he deals with so many Australians. He's got amazing Australian accent,
that's
but he
how
never
I am.
Went.
I was
there.
In London for like a couple of days, and it all comes back. I'm just like, hello, mate.
Oh God, they should punch you in the face.
We're in the manor, and Bonzo came in. He brought his sticks. He brought these new sticks that was made of metal. And when he beat his cans, man. Pretty good, right?
Do you know where the story of Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash came from?
No.
They said by Winston Churchill, like they were having some meeting and some naval commander talked about naval. Well, it's not naval tradition. He goes, don't tell me about naval tradition. It's all Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash, which is a great quote.
The Pogues lead singer is his
Shane McGowan, the ugliest man.
I want you to type in Shane McGowan
in music
and type in teeth
and possibly history
and images and see what you, Kyle, you're going to throw up in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And still alive.
Horrific.
That's the most amazing thing.
Horrific, right?
He looks like a vampire in a Blade movie.
Yeah. He looks like Nosferatu. Terrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm
right. You're going to pass out. You look a little flush.
I read the book. Did you read the Our Band Could Be Your Life? I want to say this quote is in there, but it's about Robin Hitchcock. Was in there. They quoted him saying, it's like the first time I ever saw that. I heard there's this buzz around this band and the Pogues in London and went to some smelly club in the basement. And some guy, you know, we're just waiting around and nothing's happening. They're waiting and they're obviously it's running late. And, and some like guy shambles in staggering and they're thinking, well, they're going to throw this guy out, right? Yeah. Either like a bum or something. And then he walks on stage and he said, that was Shane McGowan.
Wow.
And it's like, okay. Now he's like, that was the first time I ever saw them.
I don't know. I just don't know how musicians work and drugs. And this is totally off topic, but Journey's drummer just had some problems. He's in jail right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's some domestic abuse and a whole bunch of stuff. So, and they're on tour right now. So they literally.
So you're saying his lady didn't know when to shut up?
Yes, I guess so.
I'm kidding.
Literally, he caught me off guard there. So literally, they got a session drummer Omar Hakim, who's played with tons of people, including Sting. And now he's. But how does that guy know how to play Journey songs?
What do you mean? How does he know?
But I mean,
because he's listened to classic rock like us for the last 30 years, and he knows them by heart.
They just go, "Here's our set list. Know these songs," and you can just pick it up like that.
I think you do a run through. I mean.
It seems like, I don't know, I just...
On the flight over, he went through their whole catalog. They said, this is the set list. He heard it, he went over
and
it.
And he could do it after that. And by the way...
I'm sure they rehearsed. I mean, you rehearsed a little bit, but I mean, if he's a professional, it takes a... You saw the Wrecking Crew. These guys could knock it out in an hour.
So. It just seems so weird to me that you could learn...
They get Hal Blaine in there. And Hal Blaine's 90.
And he'll be an old cranky bastard. but I mean, yeah, Journey's drummer during the heyday was Steve Smith, and that guy's a great jazz fusion drummer.
So this is the same guy that got arrested?
No. Steve, in 96, they all reconvened the classic lineup with Steve Perry, and then they broke up soon after, and then Steve Smith, he said, well, I don't really want to do it without, I'm not interested unless it's this lineup. So no.
What the hell has he got to do?
He tours. He, if you look Steve Smith up, he's all over the world doing drum clinics and touring with his jazz fusion combo called Vital Information. So he could give a shit.
That's FU money. That's what.
Yeah,
that
that's
is.
Right. Okay. Oh, here's mine. Mine. It's my turn. Get off your phone. What are you looking up? How to do a 5K?
Some Batman information. Some more Shane McGowan teeth.
No, it appears that Michael Chiklis will be ruining Gotham this year. He's going to be playing the commish, right? The commish Gordon?
He basically is. He's like in charge of the police. I don't know. I only watched 6 episodes.
Yeah, I think I only made it through 6 too. This is not her debut album, but people think it's her debut album. She had a couple poppy albums released in Canada. But this is Alanis Morissette from Jagged Little Pill, 1995. And she closes out with a song that people often... joke about and make fun of because maybe the song's not really ironic.
Used to play it safe, was afraid to fly. He packed his suitcase, kissed his kids goodbye. He waited his whole damn life to take that flight. And as the plane crashed down, he thought, well, isn't this nice?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's like radio.
Did you buy this album when it came out?
No.
You're not into chick music?
Oh, I was all Lilith Fair all the time, my friend.
This album is solid, top to bottom. It's really great. I've been working to get her in here for a while.
Does she live around here?
She does. She lives in, I think, Malibu. And I one of Pilar's friends knows her. Like, awesome. Like they're friends.
I just remember this. So this is 95. Because at the 95. Time, I was like playing a lot of colleges around the country, and every girl in every campus played this. I mean, they all had it.
Yeah.
And they loved it. Oh, Alanis.
Yeah.
They would crank up thing going down in the theater, that whole thing. And Taylor, she was crazy and wild.
Taylor Hawkins was the touring drummer.
Oh, really?
Yep. Foo Fighters stole him away from her.
Well, I'm going to tie it in with my next.
All right, let's do
Foo
it.
Foo Fighters connection. I'm going to go in the same era.
All right.
This is, ooh. The cops are here. Another shooting.
Gil Martin, go home and stop inciting shootings.
This is the closer on In Utero, Nirvana's album, All Apologies.
All right. It's a strong closing song.
Mm-hmm. This might be my favorite Nirvana song. Heart-shaped box, I love.
It also closes out their greatest hits package, too. It's the last song on there.
It's a good closer. It's a good closer. Steve Albini's still not getting money from that.
Well, Steve Albini's a dumbass.
He is.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's going into bankruptcy a couple times just to go to Vegas and gamble to make money.
Plays poker.
Because he won't take a percentage of the albums he's produced. Wait, that's just fucking dumb.
Yeah, that album, that one album alone would have paid for his entire life.
Yeah, and you can't go back and go, you know what, can we renegotiate?
Hey, can we get a piece of that?
I mean, that would be like a guy trying to call his insurance company up after he closes out part of his car insurance and see if he can get it back after an accident happened. It's ridiculous. My next song is this is a gigantic hit. This closes out the album. This is from a band called Toto.
Oh,
my friend Steve Lukather's band, friend
absolutely
of the show.
You
Steve
guys
Lukather
are tight. You guys are tight.
This closes out Toto 4. This is a gigantic song. Play it, Kyle. Your friend Harry loves it.
Yeah, this is his favorite song.
Harry.
The wild dogs cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus.
Hey, did Serengeti,
Kilimanjaro, what are they singing about? I don't know.
I was in both.
Frightened of did this thing that
Lukather write this?
No, this was David Page and Jeff Beccaro. Gotta hear him say the word. We play a drinking game. Whenever he says the word Africa, we drink. Chug it.
Was the any other singles on this album?
Oh, Mike, you don't win a Grammy Award for Best Album without some singles on this album. I'm going to tell you right now. Rosanna, maybe you know that one.
Absolutely.
I Won't Hold You Back. Make Believe. Why don't we make believe we're in love again? You know that one?
Yes.
Yeah, you know it.
Speaking of that era of rock and roll.
What's up? Why are you shooting me a look?
No, because I thought you were going to cue me on something. I don't know why. No.
I had a Pardo Close Call concert last weekend.
What happened?
What's a Pardo
Close Call concert?
Because I'll tell you what happened. Right. So the day before, apparently he's got some... Chicago and Earth, Wind & Fire are playing at the Forum.
Yep, he sent me a message. I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it, so I was probably fifth on the list, but I got the call.
Did you ask him?
I got the text.
What kind of seats were those?
Yeah, where are the seats? And but he said he had like VIP, like a little backstage action going to happen.
So nice.
I was like, yeah, let me know.
Yeah.
And of course, that Saturday I get the thing. The text comes, hey, sick, really sick, I'm like 90%, I don't think it's going to happen. I was like, all right, fine, because I had put in for spots down at the comedy club.
Now, in case people don't know, who's the friend that gets sick the most?
I can't say I was surprised at all.
I've heard him say this phrase more than he's ever said hello, is, yeah, I just got some Cipro from my doctor.
He had
my
just
doctor
gone
put
to the
me
doctor
on Cipro
the day before, and he's like, I got a thing coming up this weekend. I don't want to risk it. I'm traveling, or whatever it was.
Fine. So then what happened?
So it went I don't think I'm going to. I'm just like, and so by like around.
What did you say? Because I would have said, can I have those tickets?
I let it. He goes like, yeah, I'm not sure. Because I had put in for spots down at the Comedy Magic Club, and you know, I was waiting here. And,
right.
And I was like, yeah, it's no, you know.
No worries.
Fine. No worries. Better. It's okay. And then around 4, I get a call. It's like, hey, I got some spots. It's like, no problem. He's like, I think I'm 90% out. I went, okay, fine. I made other plans.
It's a big percentage, too, 90.
Yeah. And then I ended up doing shows that night. And then I found out later the next day, he went.
Who'd he go with?
I think he went by himself. And then shouldn't have gone, feel like crap. Yeah, it was a good show, but yeah.
He lives very close to the Forum, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing for him, but...
But
it would have been fun. I mean, you know.
I mean, if he got to go back in that foundation room, Murray and I got to do that with the Eagles. That place is fucking... It's like...
Wait, in the Forum?
In the Forum.
Oh, the VIP section.
Wait, maybe it's not the
foundation. The foundation room's at the House of Blues.
Then it's called... it's called the Forum, whatever. Super duper Forum room.
It's called the Don Henley room.
It's called the Don Henley. But they have like high-end alcohol, and the food they bring out is like stuff you see like on like a Bravo cooking show. Would you like a pear salad?
Oh,
you
know,
I
nice.
Certainly would. Listen, I mean, it's amazing.
No, that would have been great.
Would you like some coconut shrimp? It's not like a dog and a pretzel.
No, I'm sure it'd be fun.
That stinks.
So it was a close call.
That stinks, man.
Yeah, I know. I was teased with a concert. I was teased with VIP passes. Didn't happen.
That sucks. All right, you're up. What's up?
Oh, okay. Well, this is the closing song of basically Bob Marley's career.
I'm hoping that all these songs are closing songs. Oh, this closes out the career.
Well, this is the last album he made while he was alive. They recorded, they released some posthumous ones after.
What did he die of?
Cancer.
He had cancer.
It was an infection that grew and that he never got it treated because he wanted to treat it the Rastafarian way, yeah, naturally. And they said, you know, your that infection on your toe should probably be treated. No, man. God will do it.
I'm going to rub my spliff.
Well, God just killed you.
Rub my spliff on it.
Yeah. So this is the, but it was a great closer and for everything. This is a redemption song.
All right.
From the Uprising album.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Whenever I hear any reggae music, I think of Dan Aykroyd's character that he does on the train and trading
babuya, 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 trading places. But you know, a little acoustic thing. It was very odd for him at that time, you
yeah
know? So it was like, it's huge, and it became one of his biggest hits.
He's actually strumming that guitar with his toe. Got infected on the string. Poor guy. Yeah, we talked about Ant-Man before we were recording. The best special effect in the whole movie, Kyle,
yeah,
is what?
I don't know what
when he shrinks to an ant size.
I had no idea that that was his power going in. No, they do a de-aging process on Michael yeah Douglas, because the opening scene takes place in 1989, and fucking here comes Michael. Here comes I can't even think of the movie. Romancing the Stone. Michael Douglas walks in.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It was like they did it a couple years ago in one of the X-Men movies. They did it on McKellen and Patrick Stewart, and you were like, oh, that looks kind of cool. I guess
I think it was the same company.
This looks fucking dead on.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Would they CG his face from like actual movies that he did
before?
I think
he just comes in and does the scene, and I think they just take out all the wrinkles and everything. That's what I think they did.
They basically Photoshop him.
They Photoshop him. It was crazy.
Oh, that's cool. He was a good-looking man back in the day.
He's still a distinguished-looking kind of guy.
No, we should all age so gracefully.
Yeah, he's got cancer in the throat from licking pussy.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Cancer from my throat from Catherine Zeta-Jones puss.
That's how Bob Marley got that toe infection.
He was rubbing that toe job. I was giving Zeta-Jones a toe job.
I was toe blasting her. Oh, and man, then, that's terrible. What do you
then Michael Douglas, I came over and I licked his toe.
Oh, God.
What?
Why are you Jimmy Durant?
Yeah, I know.
I'm Michael Douglas.
Ha, cha, 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 cha.
even though Frosty was made of snow, wherever you are, he was the best belly whopper in the world. Now, Frosty knew that Karen couldn't go near the fire with him because he would melt. So Frosty stayed 10 or maybe 20 feet away from the fire with the woodland creatures. While Karen was warming her little mitts. Then the magician came and took the hat and killed the Frosty. Have you ever had a Frosty at Wendy's? Them things
it's delicious.
Are the best.
The worst.
The worst.
I love my band, The Kinks, and I love...
Uh-huh, I know you do. Is this the Village Green Preservation Society?
This is not. This is one of my top 10, maybe... Not top 10, that's ridiculous. It's too high. It's one of my top five Kinks albums of all time. I love Give the People What They Want, and this one closes out with Better Days.
It's got Better Things on here.
This one closes out with Better Things.
Living like you've just begun. Except
This album was my introduction into the Kinks. This is the first Kinks album I ever bought.
What year was this?
1981.
Oh, wow.
Destroyer was on
that
MTV.
Was your first one?
It was my first Kinks. I mean, I knew they had, you know, I knew their 60s hits.
Right. Oh, Pretty really? Woman. And not Pretty Woman. I mean,
You Really Got Me.
You Really Got Me.
All Day and All the Night.
Yeah.
I knew those. Like, I didn't know. That's really all I knew. I knew they had like three big hits in the 60s. And then this was my first introduction. I love this album.
And then you did it Pat style and dug deep and got all the albums up until that point.
I dug. I actually just
Come
went back.
Dancing.
I went back a little ways. I didn't go back deep into the 60s and 70s. And I kept in the arena rock style Kinks for a while.
So this is Come Dancing on this album?
No, that was the State of Confusion was the follow up to this album.
Okay.
And that had Come Dancing on it.
Mm-hmm. Are they coming back around? Ray Davies?
Davies is coming to the Roxy.
Dave. Okay.
And
does he have a singer? Does he bring a singer?
No, he sings.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, okay. He sings. Did you get Joe Jackson tickets yet?
I didn't get them.
Are you going to get one? I've never seen him. Have you seen him?
No. I want to go. I was trying to convince Murray to go, and he was like, nah, I've seen him already.
Just get a ticket.
God forbid we go.
I'll be there with Susan.
Where are the seats?
I don't know. They better be good, Suzanne.
I didn't pull the trigger on it because I think I'm still shell-shocked from the Tom Petty bath I took when I bought all those tickets.
Just give one ticket. You can't go wrong with getting one.
No, I know.
You'll know two people
it's
there.
It's probably sold out by now.
It might be. Get a Dave Davies ticket at the Roxy is where he's
going. When is he coming?
November. I already got my tickets with my
Your concert wife?
No, with Mario.
Ooh. Who's Mario?
He's a friend of mine.
Like this fella.
He's a Never Not Funny listener, but then he's taking my spot. He's my friend now. he's my Kinks. He's
your Kinks friend.
He's like Sue. Like this is.
Oh, that'd be great.
He has to go.
Have you ever seen him solo?
No, Dave. No.
Hmm.
No. I heard he. You know, he plays and tells stories, and I got to get his signature. That's what
absolutely.
I want.
Absolutely.
When I get him sitting in that seat you're sitting in,
oh,
that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would
to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
Where's Mike going to sit then?
Ah, see.
I don't know. Where's his seat?
Where's my seat?
That was Better Things, also known as Better Days on this show.
Yeah.
What's your next one, Mike?
I'm going to go with our pals U2 and closing the Unforgettable Fire album, which had Pride in the Name of Love. They kind of wrap it up in a nice bow with MLK.
MLK.
And may your dreams be realized. If the thunder clouds passes rain, so let it rain, let it rain, rain on him.
I was like some albums closers that just kind of like tail it off.
Yeah. That's a nice coda.
Mm-hmm. Coda. That's what I was looking for.
It's a nice coda. Kyle doesn't like that term.
No, I don't like that coda either.
Oh.
I was about ready to have a dream there.
That's Kathy Lee's co-host, right? Coda?
Yeah.
Coda and Kathy Lee?
The other U2 one I was going to maybe bring is the one that closes Octung Baby, whose name I can't remember right now.
I can tell you. God, Kyle, don't look it up.
Oh, it was going to be a race. It was going to be a laptop race.
We're recording a all U2 show this coming Wednesday evening with Murray Valeriano.
Is it Love is Blindness? Is that
Love is Blindness?
Yeah.
We're recording with Murray Valeriano, and one of our the biggest U2 fan I know is Aaron Gould, who also does artwork for us.
You going to sit that one out, Kyle?
No,
I'll
he's here.
Bring earplugs.
You don't like U2, right?
No.
We'll make you like them. I think you're going to like them.
You're going to shove it down your throat.
Yeah. Toe job style. this is we're going back to 1966. I was two. You were not alive yet. No. Kyle? Nope. Not even
close.
This is from the Simon and Garfunkel album Sounds of Silence, and this song closes it out. Play it, Kyle.
I've built walls and fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain.
That was a 25-year-old Paul Simon.
Amazing.
Yep. I know a 25-year-old is trying to run a 5K. This guy wrote...
Badly.
This guy wrote Hello Darkness, My Old Friend when he was 25.
Yeah, I was not writing jokes that with that kind of shelf life. I can tell you that right now.
I'm telling you. Crazy.
Ah, man.
These guys that could write songs.
What else is on that album? Sounds of Silence, he said.
No autographs.
No autographs. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Simon. This is Sound of Silence, Kathy's Song, A Most Peculiar Man, April Come She Will.
Ooh, April Come She Will.
I Am a Rock, Richard Corey. I love all these Simon and Garfunkel albums. I really do. I think they're awesome. We're going to do a Simon Garfunkel show with Andy Kindler because I know he's a gigantic fan.
Okay.
And you can't talk about Paul Simon without a Jew in the room. So we got to get Andy Kindler in here.
They could probably wear the same clothes.
Probably. Who's that an insult to?
No, I don't know. They strike me as the same size.
Interesting. I think Andy's taller than... I think he's...
Yeah, Simon's pretty small, right?
He's tiny. Kyle, you were next to him.
Yeah, he was shorter than me.
Yeah, and getting shorter every day. Was he shorter than you?
Yeah.
Like wow. Three times your age, too. How old is he right now? Let's find out. Paul Simon, I'm going to guess 73.
Oh.
Shares a birthday with Rita, my daughter, October 13th.
Oh, sorry. The day before mine.
Sorry, Rita.
I'm October 14th.
Happy birthday, Mike.
So Rita and Pete Moore have the same.
Yeah, yeah. Rita and Pete Moore. Sammy Hagar is also on the 13th, October 13th. It's your turn, Mike.
All right. I'm going to go with a classic album for sure. This is 1977, Sex Pistols. Never Mind the Bollocks. What better way to close your album than give a big F you to the record company that turned you down before?
Or all right.
Canceled. This is EMI.
I still think the guys at EMI heard that song and went, I still think we made the right decision. How many copies of this album sold?
I don't know.
That's
no
their
idea.
Only album, right?
The only album, yeah. If you don't, I don't count the Rock and Roll Swindle or anything like that. No, that's, yeah, that was it. That was it. One and done, which kind of ruined it for a lot of the other punk bands because all the record companies saw that went, oh, these guys will flame out.
Yeah.
There's no shelf life in it.
Ramones had 16 albums.
And all, I don't know if the Ramones albums, how many did they sell? Did they ever have one go platinum, ever?
Let me find out.
I can't imagine they would. They had some gold, but...
I don't even know if they had some gold.
Really? Not even the...
Maybe. Let's find out, Mike. Let me look it up.
What would be the best-selling Ramones album? Rocket to Russia?
The first album went gold.
Oh, it did? The first one, okay.
And Mondo Bizarro went gold in 1992.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And then everything else, it's, you know... It's out there. You can buy it.
How many did the Sex Pistols, Never Mind the Bollocks sell?
It went platinum in 92.
92 in America?
Yeah.
Finally went platinum.
So that was
platinum in the UK in 88.
88. So it took 15 years in America for it to go platinum.
Wow.
And platinum's a million, right?
Yep. And then what did Johnny Rotten do when that gold album came to his house? He just fucking wiped his ass on it, throw it in the trash. Gave it to me, garbage man. Won't fucking want it. I want that fucking gold record.
Oh, God. It's really getting worse.
It's pretty good.
No, the accent is getting horrible.
This is a song, Mike, I think that I've played before, or you've played it before on this show. I don't know what the episode was. Who knows? But this closes out the 1978 album produced by Jackson Browne called Excitable Boy.
Ah, Warren Zevon. Yes.
Oh, I was on Mike's list. That's why I was confused.
That's okay, Kyle.
Yeah, you got a lot of things to do.
Yeah. I went home with a waitress. Stand up. The way I always do.
'cause I don't know. She was with the Russians too. I was gambling in Havana.
Such a great song.
Yeah.
I took a little risk.
I think I played this in the crime spree.
Yes, that's what it was.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
It's about a rich, privileged kid who got himself in trouble.
Yeah.
He calls Daddy. This is about Donald Trump Jr.
They interview Paul Gilmartin about it. I found the article, by the way.
Oh, you did?
He was of the shooting?
Yeah. He's the first line.
Yeah.
Paul Gilmartin was sitting inside a Studio City coffee shop Friday afternoon when people started shouting about gunfire.
Oh, man.
Why didn't Paul say it? Now, you can quote me, but if you could please say Paul Gilmartin of the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast.
Yeah, did he get a plug in there?
He didn't.
I don't think so.
He made it.
He also,
that was a quote. You guys can hear more about my explanation when you listen to my podcast.
He also posted, I hope he comes to poker this next week so we can hear about it. He also posted on Facebook, stop sending me, you don't have to send me condolences about this. He goes, I chose, because he watched the guy get shot. He goes, I chose to watch it. He goes, I could have easily hidden behind a tree. He goes, but.
Well, here it says when the man raised his weapon, Gilmartin jumped behind a tree.
Really?
Oh <my God. laughs>
But then he watched. He watched from the tree, from the comfort of his tree. Like Artie Johnson.
Artie Johnson. Very interesting.
Murder in the middle of a terrible accent.
That is, wow.
I will go back to doing a Jimmy, a Durante.
Ay-cha-cha.
Now Frosty had an icy cock.
And he waved his gun around.
He knew until he heard Dim holler, stop.
That's how Frosty died, right? The cops came and shot
him. Yeah. Yep.
Death by cop?
They shot his hat off and he melted, immediately melted. Your turn, Mike. You're up.
Brought out a flamethrower.
Okay, this is from Tom Petty's opening album, his debut album, and this turned out to be the longest lasting hit he had from that album. Yeah, so go ahead.
It's amazing. Oh, so good.
Raise the premises. She couldn't help thinking that there was a little of it.
That's enough of that.
I like when you go, wow. When I sing this in my car, I think I sound exactly like him.
The car next to you doesn't feel the same way.
Or all my children.
Or all the people in the car, yeah.
Is there hand claps, I think?
Take it easy, baby. Make it last all night.
I thought there were hand claps.
She was an American girl.
So great.
I guess that album, I guess, did better in the UK before it came here. Did nothing here when it came out.
Yeah, they were kind of, the first three albums, they were kind of trying to make them look a little new wave-ish, a little punkish. Even the Damn the Torpedoes album cover skews so, like, punk to me.
Yeah.
Just him, kind of
the color of the red background.
Black jacket and just like.
But I guess Breakdown got some airplay. Like, somebody put it on here as a goof. Like, some DJ ran it, and then it blew up. And then people bought the album, and then, and then that became, like, a staple now.
So great.
And now we can't have a concert without playing it. It's usually the closer, right? Or it's at least closes the first, like before the encore.
I will agree with you that he plays it.
What?
When you saw him, did he play it? He played it, right?
Yeah, he got to.
But where did he play it?
He did not play Breakdown, though. He didn't play Breakdown at the Forum.
I would rather, what would you rather hear? American Girl or Breakdown?
American Girl.
Yeah.
But Breakdown's great.
It is great. He's in the area of too many songs.
Yeah, I wanted to hear Listen to Her Heart, which is my favorite song, and then never played it.
She might need a lot of loving, but she don't need you.
That's my favorite song of his.
It's great.
So there you go. Classic.
I'm going to play a song. I know Rod Stewart gets a lot of flack because the 70s is bordering on disco, and then he does the standards.
Look, if you want his body and you think he's sexy, let him know.
Come on, sugar. let him know. But he does have one or two classic albums, and this would probably be the most classic Rod Stewart album. It's Every Picture Tells a Story. Yep. And the song that closes that album out is Reason to Believe.
If I gave you time to change my mind, I'd find a way just to leave the past behind. Knowing that you lie straight-faced while I cry, still I'll look to find a reason to believe.
So my question always about this album, yeah, if he doesn't make this album, does he get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist?
I think so, because songs that aren't on this album, I mean...
Is he Robert Palmer? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean, his first album has Handbags and Glad Rags. The second album has Gasoline Alley. I mean, this does have Maggie May on it, and it's got I Know I'm Losing You, Mandolin Wind, Every Picture Tells a Story. The album that followed it has You Wear It Well. I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. Is he going to get in because of all the 70s hits with You're in My Heart, You're in My Soul, and all that kind of stuff? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be there now.
Mike, I don't know. Look, I mean, we can talk till we're blue in the face. I can tell you, I don't know. He might get in, he might not get in.
We do talk that we're blue in the face in here.
I don't fucking vote.
Oh, God.
Do I give him a vote? I give him a vote.
Who's this guy?
I think it's Joe Pesci. They were running the Lethal Weapon marathon. Actually, not a marathon.
Okay.
Just 3 and 4. Ugh. Ruined the franchise. Both of them terrible. Terrible. No reason for Joe Pesci to be in the third. He's their friend in the third.
What were 3 and 4 on? Were they on like FX or
something? Yeah. Why?
I just wondered.
And then the fourth one, man, Martin Riggs. Riggs has long hair. Don't pop up with your short haircut. Put a wig on that. Long hair Riggs is what I like.
I don't even remember them making a four.
Yeah, Jet Li's the villain in the fourth. Chris Rock's
great.
In two of them.
Love it.
So
Chris Rock, the worst actor.
So fucking
ever.
Terrible.
He can do one guy, Chris Rock. That's why he was awful on SNL.
Yeah. And did you ever notice the thing he would do with his fingers on SNL when he was doing characters? He would like hold his fingers like this when he would do. And I was like I don't know if that was
doing like a Vulcan.
I don't know if that's like he would do a Vulcan and then cry. I don't know if that was a nervous tic that he would do because he was nervous. And he's this gesture.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm doing this gesture.
Why don't you describe to the people what you're doing?
He's just rolling his hands and they look like they're Ninja Turtle fingers.
Yeah. Like this.
Yeah.
Look like a lobster hands.
What can't? Where's my camera? Lobster hands. What's up, Mike? You got a song? I got three more.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with...
We're doing good on time, though.
Okay, good. We're going to go with the band that you and Frank Biernet just had a long show about.
Yep.
And this might be a crossover, but this is the greatest
it's not
closer.
I don't have any who because of that show.
Okay,
I just did.
Yeah, but I couldn't let this go without...
From Who's Next?
Yep. Won't Get Fooled again.
Yeah,
I queued it up right to...
Oh no, there's a murder.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
After you run that 5K, there's going to be a white chalk line around your body. What if Pete Townsend told CSI you can use the song, but you have to play the whole song every week?
8.5 minutes.
They're coming in September. Pardo and I are going. We do not have tickets yet if you want to join us.
I'm in on that. September what?
I don't know, but we're going down to Anaheim to see them.
Oh.
You like to travel?
Yeah.
I know, but is it late September?
Well, I'll find out. We'll discuss it later.
Okay, good. Because I may not be here.
All right. This song closes out an album by the first album by a super group comprised of the aforementioned Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Bob
the
Dylan,
Wilburys. Good-looking band.
George Harrison.
Good-looking band.
Who's gone? We had two people who are gone. Rock in Peace, Roy Orbison and George Harrison.
Yeah.
Jim Keltner on drums. And this song is actually, it's the last song on the album, and it's also called End of the Line.
Well, it's all right.
That's Jeff Lynne.
Even if the sea are wrong, well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right. As long as you got somewhere to lay, well, it's all right. Every day is judgment day.
Here come some other guys.
Maybe somewhere down the way,
at the end of the line,
you'll think of me and wonder where I am.
End of the line.
Sing it, everybody.
Maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays
at the end of the line,
the purple haze.
Well, it's all right.
That's a good album.
It is. I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
Traveling Wilburys.
The second one?
Volume 3?
Yeah, I think they went to...
Is what they called it. And then 20 years later, Chickenfoot. We called our second album Volume 3. Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah, very good, Sammy. Yeah, 88. Look it up. You're next, Mike.
Okay, I'm going to go back to 77 and back to London. This is The Clash, London Calling. Oh, huge album, double album, and then it ends with kind of a most poppy song on the whole thing.
Yeah.
Big single.
I love this song so much. This is one of my mental patient songs. Wasn't it a hidden track for a while, too?
I don't know.
I'm going to say it was. Kyle... Research. I'm doing this dance. Train in Vain.
Yeah, in the original version of the album, it was not listed on the sleeve. Or on the label, the record itself.
Yeah, hidden
but track. As an extraneous sticker indicating that the track was affixed to the outer cellophane wrapper.
The sticker was on the outside of the album that said, does include Train in Vain.
Why wouldn't they just put it?
I don't know. Probably their most popular song. One of the top
one of them, yeah.
Top three.
Later editions included.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
TMI.
No, that was EMI, and that was weird.
EMI!
DMI!
Dun, 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 dun.
This is, this next one's from 75. It's a classic album by this artist.
I wish we had that drop in right now.
Classic artist!
It might be one of the most epic album closers of all time. Let's hear a little bit of Jungle Land.
Crossover!
Do you have this?
Yeah, I do. Nine and a half minutes.
Yep.
And the barefoot girl.
The kids around here look just like shadows. Always quiet, holding hands.
They're going to use this for CSI.
From the churches to the jails. Tonight all is silence in the world. As we take our stand. Down in John.
You listen to that song 3 times and you're done with your 5K. There you go. 27.
That's an hour?
No. 28 and a half minutes, buddy. You clock it in.
Okay.
You
when we're
do
done
this.
Recording, let's all three go for a quick run.
Yeah, we could do it.
I got a dress shirt on. Let's go for a run.
Well, run down Ventura and bring your gun.
Wave it around.
We're
just getting ready to start the race. That's why I'm going to fire. And I'm going to fire run. Yeah.
It was Jungle Land down there on Ventura a couple days ago. So we crossed over. So you only have one more, right?
I have two more, actually.
All right. You go, then I'll go, and we'll use yours for your last one figure out which one you want to play us out with.
I got an odd one here for the next one. This is we're going to country it up a little bit. This is from a 99 album from Lucinda Williams, which like won a Grammy, I think.
Okay.
For like I like a little alt country every once in a while.
Yeah.
And Steve Earle had a part of this. This is from Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. This is Jackson.
Once I get to Baton Rouge,
Belong on the show, but it's cool.
Nice.
I like that. No, Pilar's a
little
big fan.
Slide guitar.
Lucinda Williams.
This is a nice way to wrap the album up. It's like a little mellow.
Just
another one's tailed. A coda. A nice coda.
That is a nice coda. I just happened to glance at my Facebook page. Kathy Labman just said, because of my review of Ant-Man, her family went to see it yesterday.
And they hated it.
No. Loved it.
Oh.
And then she put, and I am not an Avengers type person.
Because of your review, she went to see it.
Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. more of a DC.
She's decent. she fucking loves it.
Now, Ant-Man is a sequel to Yes Man.
Yes.
It's the same director, mm-hmm. right?
So this is fun for the whole family is what you're saying. This did the girls go with you?
Sarah did, because I always investigated before I decided if Rita can go. So I am going to take Rita. I think she'll like it.
Oh, really?
And the girl in the movie that plays Paul Rudd's daughter, and she's in it a lot.
Yeah.
She's she goes to Rita's school.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a kid at the school, and well,
she's
good.
She's got to see it then.
Yeah, she was good, too. She wasn't like one of these actor kids, like, dead.
She older than Rita?
I think she's younger. She's younger.
Oh, younger than Rita.
Yeah, she's
wow.
younger. She might be like a third grader.
Yeah, she won't be going grade. To this school alone. She's going to be like on the set.
Oh, she's going to be.
Homeschooled, weirdo, drunk.
Drug problem.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Drew Barrymore, getting a time machine, hang out with her.
Corey Feldman will stop by.
I'm going to play, I'll play my last one, then we'll do a little promoting of stuff, and then we'll close it out with you. This is still one of my favorite Van Halen albums. It's from Sammy Hagar era. I think it's the best Sammy Hagar era album.
We call that Van Hagar, bro. Dude.
From 91 for the very witty title of For Unlawful Carnal
what
Knowledge.
What does that mean, Pat? What does it mean?
Fuck.
Oh, they're clever.
It's from the Fuck album. So stupid. Were you here when someone said this, that their second album was called OU812, and someone said that was in response to David Lee Roth's Eat 'em and Smile? And I'm like, I never heard that before, but I bet you're right, and that's lame. Eat 'em and Smile. Yeah, OU812.
Oh.
But this closes out the album.
Children.
This is, I love this song so much. This is Top of the World. It's top of the world. Give me some juice. Now look,
mind that.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
And the album also, you know, fair warning, not fair warning, the album by David Lee Roth and Van Halen. I'm giving you warning that this album also opens with Pound Cake.
Okay.
Which is a song about pussy. And track three is called Spanked.
God.
And it's about, I think the chorus is, all you bad, bad boys, call her up on the spank line.
No, that's Sammy. We got to blame Sammy for that,
yeah.
Like juvenile mess, right?
Then it's got Run Around and Pleasure Dome, In and Out, and In and Out is not sex.
Doing the old In and Out.
They get you coming in, they get you going out, same amount. And it's got Dream is Over Right Now. He's saying it costs money to come into the world. It costs money to die. It's just
he's deep.
It's just
he's deep. That's Sammy.
It's the best. Okay, let's promote some stuff. Kyle, your 5K is coming up. People want to come out and see you.
Yeah.
Pass out at a 5K. This is going to be in San Francisco.
Yes.
You're driving or flying?
Driving up.
Why don't you run up? That's a nice warm up for the.
I should do that. You're driving up.
Who's going up with you?
It's Brant and myself.
Couple of guys just taking a
just
weekend.
Just hanging out in San Francisco for the weekend.
You staying in a hotel?
I think we're in an Airbnb.
All right.
And where is this?
San Francisco.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
And what's the 5K called? I assume Batman costumes are involved.
No.
This isn't the Beta Breakers thing, is it?
No, I think it benefits marine mammals.
It benefits trying to get Gotham
like
off the
seals
air.
Seals or whatever.
All right. Well, that's good.
I'd run a marathon to try and get Gotham off.
And then your stand-up thing in August 8th will already have happened.
Yeah, it was great.
Good show, man.
You selling tickets
today?
Buddy. You selling any tickets yet?
I guess.
Are you doing a one-man thing? What are you doing?
He's doing a one-man thing.
No.
You're headlining a theater.
No,
it's a festival.
Doing the Greek?
It's like a festival thing.
Oh, okay.
But you're the opening act. You have to set a nice table.
I do.
Are you also then hosting the rest of the show?
I don't think so.
All right.
Because I'm planning on leaving.
Okay.
I'm done.
When was the last time you did stand-up?
A couple weeks ago.
Where'd you do it?
Open mic. Down at Westside Comedy Theater.
All right. How'd that go?
Good, I guess.
Well, did the people laugh?
Yeah, they're too busy.
Not laughing?
On their phones.
Too busy not laughing.
Yeah.
All right.
It was like three. It was like, how many comics? It was like 10 other comics writing their sets before they went up.
Okay.
Was this a special show? You got to write your set on the spot?
No.
Like you?
Oh. This is just like an
open it's a bunch
mic.
Of comments. Oh, they're just looking at each other and nobody's laughing at each other. Yeah, I remember those. Those are fun.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you got coming up?
Well, if this is coming out, I'm guessing I'm probably in Europe right now. So I'm enjoying myself. But also recording some video stuff that I'm doing there for the Travel Tales podcast.
All right.
For some other projects I'm doing. That's traveltalespodcast.com and Travel Tales Pod on Twitter. And if you enjoyed me on Last Comic Standing, there might be some dates at funnymike.com.
Nice.
Promote.
I watched
and
it.
Funny
I didn't
Mike on
see
Twitter.
You at all. But 2 hours.
I don't know how they
time.
Cut it, man. I don't know how what I'll be. I'm hoping they'll be kind to me.
I hope you'd let me know.
This is going to get. I think
hope they don't make me look like a dick backstage or something.
I think this is going to drop August 13th.
Oh, really?
Were you a dick backstage?
No.
Okay.
But,
then
you know, they can cut things anyway they want. You know, me looking at something that has nothing to do with. Whatever
you literally,
saying.
You just have
You've
to.
You've worked on these shows.
You have to pull a wear a hoodie and pull it up over your head and pull the drawstring tight and just and then turn around and face in a corner until they tap you and tell you to stop.
Or if you just hold up your middle finger in front of your face, then they can't use anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Fuck the fuck.
Now there were some guys doing that, like
saying a lot of fucks.
Yeah, and just because they didn't want to be
on.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
You know how I cut that together then? The voiceover says, some comedians had a bad set. Fuck the fuck.
Well, I mean, these are people. Yeah, these are all professional comics. You know, it's not like they pulled people off the street and then they're so excited about being. We all know these shows and we all know we don't want to look bad. And a lot of guys, and I'm not on the road like a lot of these guys are every week that make their living on the road. And how's it going to, you looking like an asshole, going to help you sell tickets? Right. So they know.
Unless that's your hook, I'm the asshole comedian. We are, Kyle, you're at Kyle Dotson Funny on Twitter. Mike, where are you at on Twitter?
Funny Mike on Twitter and Travel Tales Pod on Twitter.
We are at Rock Solid Show on Twitter and at Pat_Francis.
Are you getting donations?
Getting a few donations here and there. People are donating money. I appreciate it. I send them a personal note that says, thanks a lot, fuck jobs. And I sent a nice note, and then they get the Live from the Rock Solid Studio CD for a minimum donation of $20.
I also want to say Frank Biernat invited me to visit him when I was in Europe. I don't know if I'll be able to get there, though.
Oh, he's a great guy. You should. He's fun. Just don't go to a bar and get in a fight with him.
Oh, yeah.
God, it's a fight.
It's trouble. His friends sound like a lot of trouble.
His friends are Kyle size. They fight. They're like a bunch
Thank you, Frank, for the offer.
A bunch of ant men. if you put that Ant-Man suit, Kyle, on, if you put that on and push the button, you'd disappear.
Yeah, I'd be done.
You'd be done. You're gone.
or I'd just push it a little bit and grow like a foot.
Also on iTunes, you can still purchase the premium episode for $1.99. It's called episode 200A that Kyle and I put together.
Flying off the shelves.
Flying off the shelves. We are up to about, I think, 48 purchases. Thanks, over 2,000 listeners.
When's that going to go platinum?
That'll go platinum probably in the year 2525.
Rita can collect on that.
Rita can collect on that, possibly. Well, her children's children. I think that's it. Mike, thanks for being here, as always. Kyle, thank
always
you.
Always fun. Thanks.
What are you going to play? And we did good. We were trying to keep it at 90 minutes. Where are we at?
130.55.
We're not bad. We're not bad. Okay, let's play it out, and we'll be done.
I'm going to close this out with 1983 Speaking in Tongues album from the Talking Heads. And all I can picture when I hear this is the scenes in Wall Street where Charlie Sheen's decorating his penthouse. But this was big. But this closed the album that had Burning Down the House on it, and it was like their big, huge album.
Cool.
This is This Must Be the Place.